Aloha and welcome once again to another episode of the Hawaii Vacation Connection. My name is Bruce Fisher. Thanks very much for tuning in. We got a great podcast for you. We're going to go over some news. We're also going to talk about some questions that have come in and comments from podcast listeners. We'll also be going over packages that have been booked in the last 24 to 48 hours, so stick around for that. This podcast is brought to you by us. We're the owners of Hawaii Aloha Travel. We're in Hawaii. We're Hawaii's experts. You can catch us on the web at www.hawaii-aloha.com. You can just simply call us at 1-800-843-8771. We have 14 agents standing by to help you plan your Hawaii vacation. This is our Friday edition. It's Aloha Friday. And it is, believe it or not, October 22nd already. And this is our 416th podcast. Glad you're here. Hope you're having a great day. It is absolutely picture perfect in Hawaii. And to prove that, I'm going to show you our crater cam. There it is. Beautiful shot of the east side of the island. From the east side of the island, this is where our offices are. Lucky us, right? This is where we get to work. Life is rough. Sunny skies, temperatures are in about the 80s. Boy, that water is looking really good to me right now. I think I want to jump right in there. Maybe I will after this podcast. In fact, I'm thinking about going parasailing today. Some friends of mine are in town, and they want to go do that. Maybe I'll just go do it with them. What do you say, Yelene? Can I? She's giving me permission. Like I had to ask my wife anyway, but... yeah, that's a fun thing to do. There's lots of fun things to do here, and that's why you're considering Hawaii, and that's why we talk about Hawaii. That's all we talk about here. If you have a question or comment you'd like to get involved in the program, you can email us at podcast@hawaii-aloha.com. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Aloha Bruce, so it's A-L-O-H-A-B-R-U-C-E, one word. You can follow all of my antics and craziness on Twitter. You can stalk me. I don't care. I have a lot of stalkers there. I have 6,000 followers, over 6,000 followers now. All organically. I don't go out looking for followers. You know, I don't play that game. Because I believe it's not the quantity of followers you have. It's the quality of them. Not the quantity. Something like that. Anyway, follow me on Twitter. Also, the Facebook page. It's Hawaii Aloha Travel, all one word. And then you want to get over and look at our blogs. We have tons, over 6,000 pages of information about Hawaii. That's on our blog page, and you can get to that just by going to the homepage. Just click on the blog. And then there's the podcast pages. I could talk to you all day about the content we're creating. So just get involved with us. Learn about Hawaii, because an educated consumer is the best consumer, and we want you to be educated. The more you know, the better we're going to be able to help you plan the most memorable vacation possible. So... thanks very much, and get involved with us. You'll be very happy you did. Let's get right into it. We're going to talk a little bit about some news that's happening. You know, locals here often refer to the term, lucky we live Hawaii. Have you ever heard that saying, lucky we live Hawaii? And it really reminds all of us how special it is to be here in the islands. And according to a new Harris poll, a lot of other people apparently agree. Hawaii is ranked just below California in the poll that asks all adults, if you could live in any state in the country, where would it be? Now, Hawaii moved up 3%, 3 points to number two this year. And it traded places with Florida, because a lot of people said Florida. California was the first place. And... Hawaii has been ranked up there, either two or three, since 1997 when they started taking this poll. But, you know, it's very true. We also say we pay a price for paradise, too, here. So it's not just lucky we live Hawaii. It's, you know, we pay a price for paradise. And that price is, you know, the high cost of living here. You know, some of us, we don't live in giant houses. You know, a $300,000 is only going to get you a small place in Hawaii. I mean, and even... $1 million won't get you like a giant mansion like it will on the mainland. So we pay a price for paradise, but we're always very lucky we live Hawaii, because we have stuff like this. I mean, we get to walk outside and that's it. Very hard to be depressed here. You know, and Hawaii is the, people live longer in Hawaii than any other state in the union. So no wonder it is up there. And the Harris poll people believe the rankings show the powerful attraction of a warm climate. From 2001 to 2006, Hawaii remained third behind Florida and California, moving up to second in 2006 and then back to third for the next 2 years. And it's all about that. I think it's the number one place. And if you look at the poll closely, for people 49 and over, like when you get to be old like me, it's the number one place for people to live. And I can't tell you how many people who come here on vacation and end up falling in love with it. I mean, Ollie is another guy who's come here. He wants to move here, and eventually you will move here, Ollie, I'm sure. And Christine Liu, somebody we work with very regularly on these trips to China and Rethink Hawaii, she's moving here. She wants to move right here to Cocoa Isle. So that's interesting, and you know, you're not alone. And when you come here, you know, don't hesitate to start looking in the real estate section to see how much things are costing. That's totally normal. Everybody does that. Okay, HTH Corporation has announced the sale of the Pagoda Hotel. Now, if you don't know what the Pagoda Hotel is, it's synonymous with some of the first hotels that were ever built in Hawaii. It's called the Pagoda, and it is a dump. Did I say that? Dump? It is a dump. I don't put people there. Sorry. But I'm happy to know that it is being sold, according to the Honolulu Advertiser. And it's a 46-year-old property, 300, and they look it, believe me, these rooms look 300, they look 46 years old. I don't think they've changed, like, some of the carpet in that place in 46 years, you know? And it was sold to developer Peter Savio. But the good news is it is being sold. That means they're going to put money into it. And my understanding is that Aqua Resorts, who we do a lot of business with, is going to be taking over the Pagoda Hotel. So that's a good sign. And that might be a great place for our Hawaii 5-0 winter ball, by the way. It's on the list, on the short list, but I don't think they have the dates. So anyway, that's going to be interesting to see and see if they can, you know, spruce that up a little. Now, it's not really in Waikiki. It's kind of outside of Waikiki, which is kind of nice. And they do have some large rooms there, you know, one bedroom, two bedrooms, very affordable. But I would just, at this point, I don't recommend the property. But it's good news to see that they are going to be, it's sold and it's going to be renovated. That's a good sign. So now, you know, what we've been doing is, I have to say that we were not able to do the podcast on Tuesday. And the reason for that was, is we were immersed in this conference that we were involved in and doing a lot of work for that. So we couldn't really do the show. So on Tuesdays, we're doing our regular show. And on Fridays, we've been doing, you know, this question and answer thing. So today I thought we'd just combine the two shows and kind of do that today since we missed the Tuesday show. Does that sound fair enough? Now, I just want to mention really quickly, we had the most amazing time at the Waikiki Edition, and I've been having just a lot of fun at this property in general because this is a property I've been talking endlessly about and so excited about because it just opened. It's a very posh, sort of New York-style Miami-looking property. It was built by Ian Schrager, who did the properties down in South Beach, like the Delano and so forth. And it's real Art Deco kind of modern. It's really just a great place. It looks like the Sky Bar in Los Angeles, if you've ever been there. That's what the bar looks like upstairs. It's just awesome. And we've been hanging out there, enjoying ourselves, having a great time. And then I guess it was last Sunday, it was the grand opening. And it was just fantastic. They had over 1,000 people there. I did do some streaming there. I ran into the guy, Kumar's Big Adventure. What is that? The two Indian guys that guy? Kumar from, Harold and Kumar's, they went for Weiss Castle Hamburgers. I forget the name of it. Help me out here. Yeah. The whole movie was about them searching for White Castle Hamburgers. Anyway, met that guy, Harold and Kumar. Huh? Where was it?
Cal Penn.
Yeah, Cal Penn was the guy's name. Yeah, that's his name. And he was in the house, and Christine El Galera, I didn't meet her, but just tons of people. I even ran into, like, local politicians, and I was goofing on them. I called Charles DeJoux. I called him Charlie. And acted like I kept on saying he looked familiar to me, you know, and pretending with him like I didn't know who he was. I was really getting on his nerves. I was really getting on Charles DeJoux's nerves. And we were streaming and having a great time. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I had a drink. If I had three hands, I'd have three drinks in each one of my three hands. But I just got really shit-faced and had a great time. And I had a friend in from Miami that was there. So I had the best. Yeah, Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. That's it. Harold and Kumar. He was a nice guy, really nice guy, smart guy. And I was running around this place, you know, saying to people, Akole Maluna. I was saying to everybody, Akole Maluna, Akole Maluna. Now, you know what Akole Maluna means? Akole means your ass, right? Aluna means up, so ass up or bottoms up. So I was telling everybody, Akole Maluna, and making them repeat it. And when I went to this Harold and Kumar guy, I said, you know what? Let me give you a test. I want you to say humu humu nuku nuku apuaha. And that's the Hawaii State fish. And I said it once and the guy repeated it back perfect, almost perfectly. And he had never heard the word before because he's a trained actor, right? Trained actors are very good at lines. And you can just feed them a line and tell them anything. And right away they parrot it back. And he did that. I was very impressed. Yeah, Cal Penn was the guy's name. Really nice guy. Okay, let's get into talking about some of the questions that came in during the week. And I had several of them, but I picked three. And if you want me to answer a question or you want me to address an itinerary that you've booked or you have some comment, I really would love to hear. I don't really get enough comments from you guys. And it really makes me feel like, you know, people are really listening. I know we get like 13,000 downloads of this a month, but I don't get hardly nearly the email that other guys get who do podcasts. You know, if I really beg, you send me something. So I'm begging. Please get involved and let me know if you're planning to come to Hawaii. Let me know your story so I can talk about it on our Friday show because we're devoting every Friday to question and answers. Okay, and you do that by writing to podcast@hawaii-aloha.com. Okay, here's the first one. It goes like this. Hi, my name is Luke. I live in Melbourne, Australia. I enjoy listening to your podcast every week. I'm planning to visit Hawaii next year. As someone who is interested in the airline industry, could I please ask you what you experienced during the final weeks of Aloha Airlines? And did this cause you a hard time for your travel agency? We lost a great airline this year in 2001 in Australia, and it's a very sad time for a lot of people who are connected to it. Do you feel that the airline industry in Hawaii is better than it was 5 or 10 years ago? And what is your favorite airline at the moment? Very good questions. First of all, Aloha Airlines was one of the first airlines in Hawaii. So it had a lot of significance, not only because it was just an airlines, but it had a lot of personal significance with a lot of the people that lived here. The name Aloha, you know, the fact that it was such an iconic airline, it was very shocking to hear that it went out. And it did come as a shock because we knew that the airlines, the local airlines here, were having a lot of problems. They were in and out of bankruptcy, having financial problems. And we thought that, you know, right until almost the end, that Aloha Airlines was going to be saved, but it was not saved. And it got into all kinds of problems in the very end there. And a lot of people blame the loss of Aloha Airlines on Go Airlines, which is Mesa Airlines, because they felt that they got into the market, brought the price down so low that Aloha couldn't compete. There were too many people in the marketplace, and it just was impossible for them to continue to do in business. And also, there was a lot of lawsuits between Aloha Airlines and Go Airlines and Hawaiian Airlines. They felt that Go Mesa Airlines used unfair business practices and actually got into records and so forth of the other airlines. So yes, it was a very complicated thing, and we do miss that airline. I think a lot of people do. And it's just one of those unfortunate things that did happen. As far as us personally as an agency, it was crazy. I mean, we had canceled flights. Now, luckily, we didn't have a lot of transpac. Now, over the Aloha Airlines did a lot of flights over the ocean from California. We had a lot of California flights. And I think they were up in, I'm not sure. I think they did a little bit of Phoenix. I forget what the other routes were. It's been a while now. It's been like 2 years now since we've lost Aloha Airlines. But we didn't have a whole lot of transpac flights that we had to reschedule. We had a lot of problems with inter-island flights. We had people that were actually stuck on the Big Island. I remember one family, they actually missed their flight. We had to get them on another flight. So it was just completely chaotic. And it also came at a time where we lost another airlines, which was ATA Airlines. We were doing a lot of business with, and they had great pricing from the mainland. So just to make a long story short, yes, it was very, very difficult for us. Now, what is my favorite local airline? You know, that's a tough one. I'm not a fan of any of the airlines, to be honest with you. I mean, just what they've done over the past year and cutting costs and then, you know, by raising fees for every little thing, I'm just not a big fan of any airline, if you want to know the truth. So, but if I had to pick one, I would have to say, up until recently, it was Continental for Transpac. I like them a lot. Hawaiian does a pretty good job. I don't like to pump up Hawaiian too much because they're such a big competitor of mine, but they do run a darn good airline. So I don't really have a favorite airline. You know, I really don't. American airlines, just in general, the U.S. airlines that we have in this country have just gone straight down the tubes, if you ask me. I mean, the service, the food, everything, the cleanliness of the planes, I think have just deteriorated. And I think we as consumers have just gotten used to it. We haven't done anything to stop them. You know, at this point, you know, they'll be like, pretty soon you'll have to pay to go to the bathroom. You know, I mean, that's how bad it's getting. So I don't have a whole lot of great things to say about airlines in this country. Now, foreign airlines I love. I mean, you know, the Japan Airlines, Korean Airlines, any foreign airline is just fantastic. The people who work in those airlines take a lot of pride in their jobs, and you can tell it. But here it's just straight downhill, folks. Hate to say that. Okay, another one, and I'm running out of time here, so I'm not going to be able to get to it, but you know what? I better just jump to this other one really fast, because this guy wrote to me, and he said he's been, believe it or not, this is the second one from Australia. He's been listening for several years from Australia, and enjoys the energy and enthusiasm. He likes my honesty and candor. He said he hasn't been to Hawaii for about 5 years, and he always feels completely at home. And the spirit of aloha is always here when he arrives. And he heard me say something about the Hawaii 5-0 episode and that I would be posting it. Wanted to know what happened with that. I had to pull it down for contractual reasons. That belongs to CBS. I could stream the actual Hawaii 5-0 episode, which we did, the premiere episode, but we were not allowed to leave it up for people to download. So we had to pull that down. And then he says, by the way, one thing we need to get you to change is your anti-Jimmy Buffett stance. Yes, sorry, been a fan since the early 70s, and while he is almost a parody of himself, almost, some of the old stuff is pretty good and modern incarnation of the parrot heads, etc., at least semi-harmless. So I said I would answer the question about the Jim. You know what? I really don't have anything against Jimmy Buffett personally, because I don't know him. He doesn't know me. I just have a problem with him coming into Hawaii and what he did in Hawaii. And he's a great guy and his music is great. Now, don't get me wrong. So I got invited to a Jimmy Buffett private concert and got thrown out of it because I was trying to take pictures and do my video. And I was invited as a VIP to sit in this little section at his restaurant, which is Jimmy Buffett's. I forget the name of his restaurant, Jimmy Buffett's. Jimmy Buffett's down in Waikiki. And you know, you think of Jimmy as this kind of hippie cool guy, right? But then he builds this restaurant in the busiest, craziest part of all of Waikiki. I mean, the place couldn't be farther from, you know, hanging out cheeseburgers in paradise or whatever, you know what I mean? So it's just a big business, you know what I mean? Margaritaville, you know? And I was invited in there. I went to the concert. I admit it, I was drinking my set of tequilas and straight shots, and I was having a good time. I was getting drunk. But whenever I'm invited to these events, usually they know who you are, and, you know, I'm there to have a full all access. I can take pictures, I can take video. So I started taking video, and they came over, and they confiscated the video camera. I said, I can't take video. I said, okay. But meanwhile, everybody around me is taking video. They have their phones out, and they're taking video. So they told me I could do that, so I started doing that. And then some other guy comes over and confiscates that. And so then I take out my camera and I'm trying to take pictures with the camera. And then they came over and they confiscated that. So finally, it just got a little bit annoying. And towards the end of the concert, they took away my other little camera that I had that I took out. Now, everybody around us was taking pictures. It was getting kind of embarrassing. So Yaling, who very rarely gets mad, got really pissed off. And she says, Bruce, we are getting out of here. That's it. So he was about to get into his last couple of songs, and sure enough, I just said, that's it, I'm leaving. I went over and I asked for my stuff back, and they said, you'll have to wait. And I said, no, I want it now. And I started to get into a little tussle, whatever. Started raising my voice, and before you knew it, security surrounded me, and I'm literally kicked out of Margaritaville and Jimmy Buffett. So moral of the story is, yeah, I did get all my stuff back. They brought me all my stuff back, and then they eventually apologized, but not after I had gone out on Twitter. This happened like a year ago already. I went out on Twitter, told all my friends. Everybody was like, you know, screaming and yelling, why'd they kick, Aloha Bruce out? I'm the nicest, because I am pretty much the nicest guy you want to meet, you know, pretty much. And I try to be, you know, bring aloha everywhere I go. In public, I never, and this never happened to me. But it was quite an experience. So that's why, but I really have nothing against Jimmy Buffett. He probably didn't even know anything about it. But it turned out that they had hired a new security company that had never been in town before. And people didn't know, one guy didn't know what the other guy was doing. That was the excuse they gave me. So, yeah, but you know, when Yaling got mad, that was it. I mean, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Because trust me, Yaling, it takes a lot for her to get pissed off, and she was really, really upset. So, this was from Robert. Thank you, Robert. We do appreciate the comment, and hopefully that explains my quote anti-Jimmy Buffett stance. But really, I have nothing against him. He's an iconic musician. He's a billionaire, and he's, you know, got it all going on, and he's probably one of the most favorite musicians of all time. So I've got nothing against Jimmy Buffett, really, personally. Anyway, we are running out of time. I'm way over, so I'm going to wrap it up here for the folks listening to the podcast. Don't forget to tune in next week. We'll be back on the Tuesday-Friday schedule. Until then, for my beautiful wife, Yaling, and myself, Bruce, we'll say aloha and mahalo.